your question about the Rambam's introduction to Mishnah, where the Rambam seems to say in one paragraph that the essence of man is to be able to understand tremendous philosophical concepts, and then two paragraphs later he discusses that the essence of the world is the wise and good man. So I don't have a tradition on this, so I'm telling you what I understand. And if you find that I am in error, just inform me. But I'll explain to you the way I understand the Rambam. And again, this is mine. I don't have a tradition on this. But this is what I think the Rambam is referring to. We have Braisa in the Gemara of Avodah Zarah, which we discussed many times, that discusses the evolvement of Midot, how a person grows in this world, right? And it leads you up to Anava, up to Ruach HaKodesh, up to Nevua, up to the days of the Mashiach. We work our way up in becoming better people, right?
The brother you said.
Right. Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair, the concept of being a Navi is maybe one of our highest concepts. That's where a person aspires to. The Torah was given to us as a tool to be good people and also to be godly people. And the two work hand in hand. When we say a person is godly, he can't be godly if it's all theoretical. The same Moshe Rabbeinu has the highest level of prophecy. When everyone else is busy looking for money, he's looking for Yosef's bones. He doesn't have better things to do with his life than to look for an old body? Wait a second. Why doesn't Yosef's tribe look for him? Moshe Rabbeinu, he is big in all Torah, and yet his tefillah is amazing. Moshe Rabbeinu's strength is in prayer. Moshe Rabbeinu has the opportunity to set up the borders of three cities of refuge on the eastern side of the Jordan. He knows his days are numbered, but if he has one more mitzvah he could grab onto, he does. By us, the idea of philosophy is something which goes hand in hand with the way you lead life. To the extent where Chazal said, if it doesn't, then your Torah isn't Torah. If one's Torah is not an active Torah, it's not a living Torah, then that's not Torah. It's not a theory. It's a way of life. And we don't believe that a person can have one without the other. He cannot attain a high level of being this great prophet without being on a high level of keeping all of Torah and mitzvot. It goes hand in hand. Yes, we have the exceptions of the wicked people who got prophecy for whatever reason. That's a conversation in and of itself. But in general, when we talk about prophecy and growth, so they go hand in hand. When you perfect the way you are, so then you are a potential prophet. And if you are a prophet, then that means that you've reached a certain level of perfection of your performance of mitzvot, of the type of person that you are. So I think that what the Rambam is discussing here, even though in the first paragraph he stresses that when a person, when we discuss where a person should be headed in life, it's to that level where he has a correct perception of the world, and that correct perception of the world, to my mind, is prophecy, is or at least a high level of Torah understanding, almost prophecy. Then in the two paragraphs later, when he speaks about the essence of the world is the wise and good man, well, I don't see a difference in that. It's just a question of which point is he stressing in which paragraph.
Okay, so in light of what they are saying, could we say what they are really saying, that the being good is what will lead you to that ultimate goal of being?
I didn't say that. Wise. I purposely didn't say that. I purposely said you can't have one without the other. They both go hand in hand. I didn't say that one is a tool for the other. I was very careful not to say that.
Okay.
I don't think that's what the Torah is teaching us. I don't think the good deeds are a tool to get to prophecy, and I don't think prophecy is a tool for the good deeds. They're both very important, and they both require a diligence and an effort, and they grow hand in hand.
He still seems to be stressing. First, the question also: why does the Rebbe say that Chokhmah here, Askala, is in reference to Nevoa?
That's a long conversation. I think that's what the Rambam is saying.
Okay.
or almost nevuah. He's talking about high levels of wisdom, which are very close to, if not nevuah itself.
So if the emphasis, so there's an equal emphasis, is there an equal emphasis on these two things?
I don't think his focus, in the Rambam, that's not his focus. His focus is not the deeds. His focus is intellectual growth or prophecy, however you want to discuss it.
Objectively or specifically here?
No, specifically here. Here.
As opposed to...
Yeah. Right. But again, I don't think that the Rambam thought for a moment that you would view one without the other.
Okay.
Not in Judaism.
But then later on, when he comes and says that, so what about those that are not able to reach? Again, he emphasizes intellectual perfection.
Right.
Okay. So the one in a million who will. What's the purpose of the other? So his one answer is, right? His one answer is so that they will serve the person that will reach that intellectual perfection.
Okay.
So playing down, it seems to be that he's completely playing down their deeds.
Maybe if they go hand in hand and you can't get to a certain level intellectually, you also can't get to a certain level as far as your deeds. Can't that be the case? I'm asking. I think that to understand that Rambam requires a whole separate class, which we never had, unfortunately. But I think that the question isn't as strong in light of what we said. I agree with you that there's a lot to be discussed. Why is the Rambam focusing on that? And what does the Rambam mean? And there are many potential understandings here. But that... Let me ask you a question. If the army wins a war, and I was cleaning toilets, I didn't pick up a gun, I didn't make a phone call. My job was cleaning the toilets so that when the soldiers got back, they'd have clean toilets. Did I win the war or not?
But the rabbi wants to. Okay. All right. I was crucial in the.
Okay. So, the fact that I have a different position in the war doesn't mean that I didn't win the war. The question is, did I do my best in my job? So, if different people in this world have different responsibilities that are dependent on their capacities, I'm not sure that that's putting them down. I once sat next to a man on a plane. And he said to me, does Judaism believe in equality? Isn't Judaism unfair to women? So I said to him, do you believe in equality? So he said, yes. So I said, does that mean that you grant blind people licenses to drive? So he said, no, because it's not right for them to drive. I said, okay, so you agree with me that different people have different strengths and weaknesses, and in accordance with their strengths and weaknesses, we should give them licenses to do different things. Well, Judaism is just saying that, it's just that we say that there are areas where women are stronger, and that's why they have the license to run life in that area, and there are areas where men are stronger, and they have the license to run life in that area. It's just a question of understanding why the halacha gives these responsibilities to men and these responsibilities to women. It's not that we say men are better or women are better. We say they have different strengths, and therefore they have different responsibilities in this world. And it's the same thing. If you look at the world as a big world, so we're all partners in moving the world forward. That the Medrash says, Mesushelach used to fix sandals. And he did it with the greatest holiness. What was so holy about fixing sandals? That he did the best job fixing sandals. And if your job is fixing sandals, but you do it as best as possible, that could have tremendous weight. It all depends on what you're...
Is it his point here? Is it really that? I mean, he seems to say, obviously, you need to have a world so that prized person, that ideal creation, will be able to function, that everybody has his role. At the same time, so here what he's saying is...
Right, so who's he focusing on? Who's he focusing on the whole work? Who's he focusing on?
He's the center of this.
He's focusing on the wisdom. His point is not to explain to you, well... What are they going
to
get out of it?
Objective. He seems to be making general objective statements here, as opposed to a very narrow, to a more specific point about wisdom. He's saying that we have to include what's the purpose of mankind. What's the tafkid, the ultimate tafkid of mankind? He's having pretty general statements here.
I don't know. Why don't you look at it again and see if what we said makes sense?
So according to what he's saying. So according to this, we should view. You understand that the Rav is offering. We should view the world as a collective, as opposed to each individual. But the world as a collective, is improved, that these people are a little...
Well, the example I gave from the army is halacha. It's halacha and how we divide the loot.
Right, about
the people that are... So, if that's the way we view an army, why shouldn't we view this world the same way? And but I think there are other examples on a spiritual level where we see that too.
But each person is also judged individually, as to his own attainment. Meaning,
each person is judged individually, right?
So he's not able to live up to what his ideal is, what his function in the world is. And if we say that this is what distinguishes, according to what he said previously, this is what singles out man out of the rest of creation.
Right.
The person that doesn't live up to this, and it's just that screw in the machine.
Then what? If he's the best possible,
if you take him individually, he's a failure. Why? If you take him as part of the whole, if he's making steps.
So that goes back to the Mabit.
General soul or general kind of...
That goes back to the Mabit we discussed. That the Mabit says that Hashem's expectations from each of us is not the same. Every person was given the same potential. And that goes back to the discussion we had about the end of the book of Yonah, where God says, I'm not going to kill thousands of people who don't know any better. And we had a discussion there. We said, what does it mean, don't know any better? Doesn't every person have a capacity to understand and do better? And the answer seems inevitably from the end of the book of Yonah that no. There are people who cannot understand and cannot do better. And we don't hold them to that. It's not their fault.
I just find the book of Yonah is a very interesting example, though, because they end up realizing they need to do better. Now, are you saying without the threat of being totally annihilated, they wouldn't have understood? Is that...
I
do understand, and they do make changes.
So the question is, who made the changes? We're entering a much broader discussion, which is really, from the way many of the commentaries understand, there were those people who were sinning, and they did tshuva. And then you had a whole bunch of kids and animals and people who just don't know any better. Yeah, you have little kids. It's not their fault. They're not the ones doing tshuva, which leads us back to the original question, then why were they going to die? Right? On the one hand, God saying, I don't want to destroy them. They didn't know any better. On the other hand, we do see that they might have died because of the sins of everyone else. There is this collective deen. But if there's a collective deen for the bad, then there should also be a collective deen for the good. Isn't that logical? And if I'm a screw or a bolt or a nut, and I'm a part of this bigger mechanism, and I'm doing my role here, I'm doing the best I can, and then I'm part of everything that's going right here.
A collective thing in this world, as opposed to...
Okay, I don't know, who said there's a difference?
So the concept of us being judged individually, what you're saying...
Well, there's a concept of both.
Yom Kippurim also, right?
You say both, right.
Katzon, okay, but...
Both, right? But even individually, what does God want of me? He doesn't want of me to do more than I can do. And if I did the best I could, then that seems to be perfect. And you have Midrashim about that too.
So it seems from...
Again, the Rambam's focused on one point. He's not dealing with all the other points that would bother you. Mm-hmm. I think if you read through, you see that's his focus. He's also talking to a specific crowd and telling them this is where you should try for. You know, if you came to me and said, should I try to be the best fighter and end up being a general and end up being the Ramatkal of the army? So now you're going into the army. I say, sure, be the top soldier. Whether you can get there or you cannot get there, well, time will tell. That's a different question. But of course we tell everyone to strive for the top. Fair enough?
Because people seem to be... I had this... Michael Makob, we had this discussion about the Rambam. There seems to be this kind of approach about the